So we've got it on tape. So there is a great little story in the Mabinogion called the story of Chlydd and Chlefthys. Or Chlefelys probably. And it's a story of two kings who become two brothers who love each other and become separated. And one is the king of Britain and the other is the king of France. And they are separated, of course, by the sea. And the Chlydd, or later Lud, whose name is given to London, is the king over Britain. And there are three great plagues that afflict the country of Britain. One is there is an invisible people called the Coraniaid, a people who are very sneaky and can never be found, and who cheat everybody, and whose coin is it turns into fungus all the time. And these people are very cunning, and they listen to the wind, and they can hear everything, and they can subvert everything. This is the first plague of the island of Britain. The second plague is that every May Eve, which of course is this time, this moment of the fertility of the earth, a great cry comes out of the earth that causes all the women of the land to miscarry, and all the plants to wither, and all the springs to dry up, so the land becomes barren. And the third plague is that whenever the king has a great feast, no matter how much food is put out, even though there'd be food for several months, they have only they can only eat it that first night, and after that first night all the food is stolen. So what he has to do this very quietly and secretly so that the Coriander don't hear and don't subvert his intentions. He and a couple and his men have to go out into the middle of the English Channel. And by a mysterious way, his brother who loves him, who lives in a country where there are no plagues, knows that he must meet him in the middle of the Channel. And so they come and they meet each other in the middle of the Channel, and they talk about what to do and how can they communicate with each other. How can his brother help him without the Coriander hearing and subverting his attentions? So Chlefthys, who is the king of the country where there are no plagues, creates a brass or brazen horn, bronze horn, which can go underneath the sea and can connect the two brothers together. And this they do. So they go back to their places, and the great horn is put into the sea, and it connects the chamber of Lud with the chamber of Chlefthys. But they discover that they have to clean the horn, because inside the horn there is a spirit enters the horn, and all that can be heard through the horn is hateful and disturbing speech. So they have to find a way to clean the horn, which they do. And then Lud can listen to the help of Chlefthys. And Chlefthys teaches him a way of preparing water using the juice of a particular insect. And he asks him to gather, and he tells him to gather the Coriander and the Britons together, and he blesses them all with this special water. And this special water has the property of blessing the Britons and causing the Coriander to wither and become lumps of stone, so that they have no energy and they can be seen. And this is how he deals with the first plague. I'll explain all this tomorrow. The second plague, which is the plague of the great cry, he tells him that he must find the very center point of the land, the very heart of the land, the very heart of the matter. And if he digs down into that place, what he finds is there are two dragons fighting. constantly fighting, and every so now and again, one of the dragons is nearly overcome and lets out a great cry that withers the land. And so what Lad has to do is to seize hold of the dragons, and if he holds them firmly and strongly, that the white dragon and the red dragon who are fighting in this way will turn into two small piglets, a white piglet and a red piglet. And then what he must do is wrap the piglets in a blanket so that they are firmly held, so they are warmly held, and so the piglets will go to sleep. And then he must put the piglets in a safe place in the center of the kingdom, in a place where they will be warm and safe, so they will not be scared and wither the land. And that is the dealing of the second plague. The third plague, he says, as Levis says to him, well, you must gather yourself. You must sit in your with your sword of state. You must have also a great cauldron of deep water. And you must sit through the night. And every time you feel yourself becoming drowsy and sleepy and about to sleep, you must plunge yourself into the cauldron of deep water. And so you will become awake again. And Lad does this. He eats well. There's a great feast. Everybody goes to bed. And he sits up in his throne with his sword of state. And there is strange music and perfumes in the air, and he feels sleepy. And so every time he feels sleepy, he plunges himself into the cauldron, and the deep water refreshes him, makes him come to life again. And as he sits and as he watches through the night, what he sees is a man in armor who comes with a basket and puts all the food into the basket. And it is amazing to him that this small basket can somehow take all the food. And he rises up from his throne and he takes up his sword and he challenges and he wrestles and fights with the Robin Knight. And at the end, what he does is to seize the Robin Knight and he pins him to the ground and he holds him on the earth until the Robin Knight surrenders and then offers to be his servant. And in being his servant, then becomes one who feeds all the people of the land. And this is the end of the third plague. So this is the story of Clyd and Cleffthus. And this is a story that is completely about the hungry ghost and how to work with the hungry ghost. And I'll talk about it in more concrete detail tomorrow. Yes.
Can you spell those names out for me so I can remember them?
Yes. Double L-U-D. Clud. Clevis, double L-E-F-Y-S.
Okay. Because now I've got a picture of them.
Yeah, it helps, doesn't it? Yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah. You need to have the letters. It's true. Yeah. I do. I need that as well. Okay. So we'll come back to this story tomorrow, and it's got a lot of relevance to all the stuff we've been talking about. So we're going to end today just by doing the Kabbalistic cross together. I'll just remind you, and I'll remind you of the intention of it. So what the Kabbalistic cross does is to trace the tree of life on our bodies, and it invites the deeper parts, or the higher parts of the tree, to come down right into the body. And we're basically working with the energy of the deepest part, which is Keter, the crown, which is above the head. We're bringing that right down the middle pillar, down through presence, down into the place of the where the hungry ghost lives, right down into the body. We're also dealing with these two spheres here, the sphere of will and power and the sphere of love and compassion, which are situated at the shoulders. And then finally what we do, we bring our hands together at the center of the heart with a place of presence, and we just let the blessing of presence touch the whole of our experience. And it's very simple. I'll just tell you it first of all, and then we'll do it together.
So we begin really by bringing the hand to the front of the forehead and bringing your attention to the place above the head. And we say the word ate, which means to thou, which means the it represents the root of our being, the divine part of ourselves. So an ate in Hebrew means it's the first letter and the last letter. It means the beginning and the end. It means the place that's beyond all opposites, really. So we say ate, and we might visualize a sphere of white light or a flame of light, crystal light. And then we say, we bring our hand down to our solar plexus, pointing downwards, and we visualize or sense or feel a pillar of pure white light going right down into the earth. We say Malkut. This is the lower part of this tree, the body, the kingdom, the heart of the matter. So we say Ate Malkut. We establish the vertical axis. We then bring our hand to our right shoulder. We say Vegebura. Now this is the energy of clarity and power. Vegebura. We draw our hand across to the left side of our body again for feeling or sensing a sort of a river of white crystal light. Coming to the left shoulder where we say Vegedula, which means the love, the compassion. So it's Ate, Malkut, Vegebura, Vegedula. We bring our hands to the heart. We say Le Olam Amen. Le Olam means the all and everything. Amen means let it be so. We just center ourselves at the heart and we just let the blessing of presence radiate through all our experience. So I'll just do it myself first, just to remind you how to do it, and then we'll do it together three times. So I begin by just bringing my hand here and I say Ate. Malkut. My shoulder. Vegebura. Vegedula. Laolam. Amen. So let's just do it together. Hand to the shoulder, feel it to the forehead. Ate. And down is the solar plexus pointing downwards. Malkut. Right shoulder, Vegebura. Vegebura. Left shoulder, Vegedula. Vegedula. Center, Lolam Amen. Lolam Amen. And to the forehead. Ade. Malkut. Right shoulder, Vegebura. Vegebura. Left shoulder, Vegedula. Vegedula. The center, Lolam Amen. Lolam Amen. One last time. Ade. Malkut. Vegebura. Vegendula. Amen. Thank you very much, guys.
Thank you. Thank you.